Hey man, let's go to the Word this morning. Got about 25 minutes or so. Let's see what we can learn today in this little series called Real Life. Real life. We all could use some what? Some help. We even saw in this series the most religious man. There was nobody more religious, more qualified, more pedigreed than Saul in the New Testament. Saul of Tarsus. But he was not a believer in Christ. He was a persecutor of believers in Christ. He had been the one hollering out into the crowd. You know? Are you a believer in Jesus? And when they said yes, he would haul them off to prison or have them killed. Saul. We saw that. We've been walking with him. Well, he was on the road to do that to more Christians, actually to a place called Damascus, Syria, in the news right now. Syria. This man was on the road there with papers to bring back more believers, lock them up, put them in prison. And that's where Jesus Christ met him on that road, the road he was on. Amen? That's where Jesus meets you, on the road you're on. It's good you don't have to go get on his road. You couldn't get on his road. But he comes to your house. He comes to your road. Amen? Jesus came from heaven, was made in the likeness of men, became a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death. He came to our world. Amen? Say, for God so loved the what? World. That's where Jesus came. He came to Saul's world. Right there. Met him. Okay? The risen, glorified Christ. Blinded the eyes of Saul. He couldn't see. After that, he had to be led by the hand. So much for him being so tough and strong. He couldn't even walk to Damascus anymore. Somebody had to lead him. But there he was transformed on that road. Instead of a persecutor of the Lord, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Remember? Amen? So that's this man. We've looked at a couple of things about his life. How he met Ananias, the band there in Syria that helped him. And just a great time we've been seeing this man. So no one's beyond hope. Amen? Say that with me. No one is what? Beyond hope. I just want to insert just real quick one thing the Lord helped me understand this week. And I've done cruises many times. But this is the largest cruise ship I've ever been on. Over 4,000 people. That's a big ship. A lot of people. That's some lines I'm telling you right now. Okay? But it was big. But I was okay with all those people. What do I mean by that? I mean, the world's messed up, guys. You listening to me? Well, that's the world. That's the life I live. That's the life Mama lived. That's the life I experience here with folks in Inglewood. But you know what? I was okay being in their world. Okay? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Thank God. We've been delivered. Amen. We've been saved. Amen. But I was okay. It just reminded me of Jesus coming to his world. Can you imagine? Coming to this world and being around, you know, the folks that he was around. But it was okay. I was cool this week. I was just thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord, you know, where I was at. But I was also thanking him, Lord, that you delivered me from this, from falling down and breaking my hip, from being too drunk. You understand? Amen. Stuff like that. And just a lot of things I saw, but I was okay because that's my world. I believe if I pulled that ship up to Inglewood and everybody got on board from Inglewood, it'd be about the same scene all over again. You understand? Yes or no? Absolutely. That's our world, guys. Are you cool with that? Can you handle that? That's your world, that no one's beyond hope? Amen? Say. Well, that's what happened to me this week, big time. And it got inside of me even more of a passion to want to reach lost people. Say lost people. Lost people. I can't keep everybody. I can reach people for Christ. Amen? Not me alone, but us together with His Spirit, with His power, with the Word of God. We can reach our community for Christ. That's incredible. Amen? Because people need Him. One thing that ship taught me again this week, Gary Clark, there is no shortage of people that need to be reached. Amen? Well, oh, what happened to so-and-so? They used to come to church or whatever. It happens in church, guys. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no shortage of people that need Christ. If we get on the stick, amen, and just stay at it, and even more, double our efforts to reach people for Christ. I tell you what, that's how you'll grow this church like crazy. Amen? And I'm excited about it. I was thinking also, I'm getting off track here, but I'm trying. Our new building, the dining room I ate in, the big dining room we'd eat in, glass. There it was, looking over the water. The word sea in the book of Revelation, it talks about the sea, the sea, the sea. I'm going to ask you a technical question, Pastor Lindo. When we see the word sea a lot in our Bible, what's that referring to? People! Ding, 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 ding. Amen. You ought to know, you're a PhD. Amen. But anyway, listen. That's what I thought of our building. As I was eating there, I came back last night and I rode by the facility again. I looked at that glass in the front and it reminded me of where we would eat. And guys, those people are going to be right out there. They're going to be walking up. Amen? They're going to be coming. I'll see them through that glass. The sea. Amen? The sea of people. We need to reach people for Christ. Say that with me. We need to reach people for Christ. Do you understand where I'm coming from this morning? Say. So I could talk and talk and talk, but the Lord really touched my heart this week. Now, Kim and I had a great time. If you're wondering who Kim is, she's that real tanned one up there, wearing white to show off her tan. Like me. Here we go. Here we go. Let's go with the message today. We did a 180 message, you know, before he turned around. 180 is not a 360, guys. You don't come to Christ just to turn back to yourself and be the same person you were. You come to Christ to go a different way. You understand? A different way. A different way. I'll never forget my mama putting her faith in Christ on a Sunday morning. I was a 16-year-old hellraiser. She put her faith in Christ on a Sunday morning. December 18, 1977, came home, and the demon that had really held my mama was Pabst Blue Ribbon. She'd get drunk every night. She didn't make the best decisions when she did that. And she took those and poured them down the sink. And from that point on, I watched my mama do a 180, not a 360. You understand? Say, that's what Christ can do for your life. That's the choice that we have to offer to people. Okay? He can change your life. So, he did a 180. Saul, now what? Let's push this thing on. Real life. Where do I go from now? Now he's saved. Now he's on the path to following the Lord. And we're on the path to following the Lord. But this is something we're all going to face. The Christian's battlefield is the what? It's the mind. More people today go to psychologists or counselors for mental and emotional problems than at any other time in our nation's history. Okay? Pill popping like crazy. The mind. Okay? We have that problem. The battle has been and always will be in the what? The mind. So here's Saul. He was trained this way. He walked this way. He believed this way. He met Christ. He did a 180. Okay? Good. But there's going to be a battle for him. And it's going to be where in his what? It's not easy to have done this and thought this your whole life. This has been your life, man. Now you meet Christ and you turn and follow and go a different way? The mind. We all need help with our what? Help me, church. We all need help with our what? Mind. So, today's message. Shrink. Okay? You'll see. How can I win this battle of my mind? Do I need to get me a shrink? Or do I need to shrink? That's why they need some of them cakes. No. Shrink. Let's talk about it. The Apostle Paul, his name was what? Saul. In his 13 letters, this man, who was a persecutor, a killer of Christians, came to Christ. He did a 180 because he was not beyond hope. The Bible that you have, your New Testament, contains 13 books of his letters. So don't you give up on you and don't you give up on somebody else. Amen? Because there is hope. Amen? But in those 13 letters or books in the New Testament, he probably says more about the what? Mind than he does any other subject. When you read those letters, when you look at them closely, he's talking about how you can fight spiritual warfare, how you can deal with your mind, how you can live for God. because he was a missionary. After that, he became a church planter. He would go to different locations and preach in synagogues and things like that. He was always dealing with people who needed to be changed. Many of them worshiped idols, goddesses, different things like that. Their whole life, their thinking was perverted. They thought it was okay to just, you know, have sex with anybody and have as many wives. He dealt with all kinds of issues. So he had to deal with their what? Their mind. And that's what he's dealing with us in the Scriptures. When we read the Scriptures, that's why the Bible's a beautiful thing. It's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing. It can help me live life to the fullest. Amen? That's why Christ came. I've come to give you life and to give you abundant life, or life to the full, but not the thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And to turn from that is going to be hard. Paul wrote from personal experience. These 13 books that you have, he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just his thoughts. It was God's thoughts coming through him. That's why when people say, oh, the Bible's just man book, it's just a book written by man. No, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And it's what? Profitable for what? Doctrine for what? For reproof. For what? For correction. For what? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides. It pierces. It cuts down to the bone. Amen? This book written under the inspiration of the Spirit. You have 13 of those. 27 in the New Testament. 13 of them, half written by this man. Isn't that crazy? Y'all with me or not? Have I lost you? Paul's whole thinking about Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus at first. Killed people who did. Imprisoned people who did. His whole thinking about Jesus, God, and life were turned what? Completely upside down. You don't think that would screw with somebody's mind, say? Oh, yeah. Everything he had learned and established as core beliefs in his life would now be what? And most of it would be what? Changed. We hold on to things. On this trip, I spent the most time with two people in particular, other than Kim, all the time with Kim, but two individuals on this trip. I was 2 hours with one man. He was from Roatan, Honduras. When we landed in Honduras, I spent time going through the countryside, just me and Kim and this gentleman in his van, touring. And I told Kim I should get paid for this because it was 2 hours of nonstop counseling. He was a believer who just opened up to me and told me he was so backslidden. I tried to help him with his thinking, to know he could come back, that God loves him. But through some of his theology, he even thought he was now going to hell again. Just under such pressure. Another man I sat at breakfast with, a beautiful black couple from South Georgia. Loved them. Grew up just like I did in the country. Talked the same English. We both spoke just like each other. Loved it. Loved it. He's preaching. This guy can preach. He's a believer. I said, well, let's have a preach-off. And we're right there at the table with a bunch of people. And he starts preaching about Mephibosheth, the cripple boy. It was beautiful. I loved it. But then he told me, I'm backslidden, Pastor. I'm not serving God. I'm not right with God. Do you see the battle? Yes or no? The battle is in the what? They're no different than us. These guys are no different than us, guys. Are you hearing me? Yes or no? But both of them were losing that battle. And they were both hanging on to their lifestyle and what they wanted to do instead of following the Lord. That's tough, isn't it? Say. And I loved them. They loved me. And I'm hoping we've sowed some good seeds and we're going to see some good things in their life. Amen? But this is the battle. Here's what Paul said. For we know that the law is spiritual. Paul said, but I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that's the thing I'm doing. He was having problems with his mind, just like you have and like I have. If then I do that which I would not, I can sin unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in who? Me. Guys, I hate that wake-up call this morning. You still have sin that dwells in you. You understand that? Yes or no? Okay? The mind, the battle. For I know that in me, that is in my what? Flesh dwells no good what? Thing. Now, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good that I should be doing? Gosh, I struggle. I can't do it. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I what? I don't got no problem with that one. That's pretty easy. Because we're sinners. You understand? Because we're sinners, we've got problems with the mind. Paul had problems just like you had problems. That's why he wrote so often about it. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. He says that again. I find that a law, when I would do good, evil's present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the what? The inward man. See, that's what you and I have been given as believers in Christ. We've been given His Word. We've been given His Spirit. We've been born again. Say born again. Made alive. Okay? We've been born again. We've been made alive by His Spirit. And so does that mean we don't sin anymore? No. Some churches will teach that. It's crazy. It's not true, guys. Okay? Hadn't been true in any church I've ever pastored, I'll tell you that. Okay? Ain't true at the Clark House. Alright? But we've been given, our name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've been given a down payment of eternal life. God's Spirit lives inside of us. We've been given His Word. We have a fighting chance. Say fighting chance. We have a fighting chance every day to live for God. Every day. You have a fighting chance now. Isn't that good? Say. I'm on that cruise ship and I'm thinking, you all have a chance. You all have a fighting chance. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to think that's fun, falling in the floor, drinking till you're drunk. You don't have to live that way. Amen? Woo! We have a fighting chance. Amen? Come on. That's a good thing, church. That's why as Christians, we don't put other people down. I wouldn't think, oh, look at them bad people. Look what them bad people do. I'm thinking, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for coming to my house. Thank you for Mama watching Billy Graham. Thank you, I have a fighting chance now. Amen. And I didn't want to judge them at all. I wanted to help them. There's a difference, you know, yes or no? That's what I want Fellowship Church to do. I'm praying, oh, God, fill our people with power. Fill our people with power. Fill our people with power that they can let others know they have a fighting chance with Jesus. Amen? Let's love on people in our community. It's just one big old cruise ship's all it is. Amen? We are on the water, right? Come on. He said, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my what? And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is inside of me. What a crazy verse for the Apostle Paul who wrote 13 books in the New Testament to say. Say it with me. Oh, wretched man that I, who shall deliver me from this body of death? What was he saying? Wow, do I have problems. Wow, do I struggle. Amen? Did you know some people read the Bible? There's a group out there that just follow Paul. They just love Paul so much. Paul, 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 Paul. They almost make him a god. I wonder why they don't read verses like that. Paul was no god. You understand that? Say. He was a man just like you. Man just like me. He did a 180. He followed the Lord. Amen? That can be you, sir. That can be you, ma'am. Amen? Come on. God used him. God wants to use you. We're all sinners. Come on, that's who he was. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with thee mind, I myself serve the law of God. My mind, I serve the law of God. I make decisions with my mind to make right choices for God. But with the flesh, oh, the law of what? I know I took a long time talking about that, but that's important for us to understand. Dr. Paul or Dr. Phil? I like Dr. Phil. Nice fellow. A lot of times his advice is spot on. But I'll take Paul. Amen? I'll take his advice because that's straight from the Spirit of the living God. And any advice is, thus says the Lord, it's the Word of God. The state of our mind. Raj, I want you to really help us on this one. We're going to move pretty quick. Our minds are warring. He said, I see another law warring in the law of my mind. Our minds are warring. Our minds are earthly. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now even tell you weeping, they're enemies of the what? They're cross. Our minds are earthly. Guys, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. Who what? Mind what? That's our mind. It's just only natural for us to have an earthly mind, to put our mind on the things of this earth, the things of this world. Our minds are what? Yeah. He says, Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. I what? Thought as a child, but when I became a man of God, I put away what? Things I don't need. Things I don't need in my life. Things I don't need to do. I'm changed. I have a fighting chance. I can do this. Our minds are vain. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Our minds come up with theories and all kinds of things that we think. How that, oh, look, we just got here from nothing. We can just go crazy in our head if you let yourself. You hear me? Yes or no? Our minds are what? Corrupt. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Our minds can be so easily moved and swayed and corrupted. And here we're believers, but yet we're living this way or we're doing this. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? Our minds are blind, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. This is fun. This is the way I like to live. This is great. Are we having a good time? I can't remember anything. I just did. The God of this world has blinded our minds, lest they should receive the glorious light of the gospel. Satan's working tooth and nail hard. Amen? Say yes or no. He didn't just work on people that aren't Christians. He works on us, dudes. You hearing me? Say, you kidding me? Our minds are carnal. For they that are after the flesh do minds the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind that our minds are fleshly. Our minds won't take care of us. Our minds won't take care of me. I want to do what I want to do. Yes or no? You see how that battle's going? We need what? So that's what Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he needed, he struggled with. So when you read your Bible, that's what you have. Help. Amen? You hearing me today? So what do we need, Dr. Paul? What do we need? Here we go. We'll try to do it real fast. There's several points, Raj. I believe we can get them, but you got to fly. It's all on you. We need to what? If we want to fight this battle of our mind, we need to decrease. John said it, that Christ might what? Increase. We need to what? Decrease so that Christ may... I know plenty about sin. I don't need to take no class. Amen? But I need to decrease so He can increase in my life. I need to know more about Him. I need more of Him and less of me. I got plenty of me. I need to get small. What are we talking about? A humble mind. You get to the place, come on, where you humble yourself before the Lord, He'll lift you up. You get to the place where God is not my way but your way. You get to the place where I don't know it all. I don't know anything. I want you to teach me, Lord. Humble. Amen? Get serious. So get small. Say, get small. That's be humble. Get what? Serious. Get serious. If you want to fight this battle of your mind, you got to get serious about it. You got to know I got a fighting chance. This is the best life a man can live. A life with God. A life following God. A life following the precepts of God. This is a great life. You got to get serious about it, though. If you always do what you've always done, then you'll always be what you've always been. Say it with me. If you always do what you've always done, then you'll always be what you've always... One more time. If you always do what you've always done, then you'll always be what you've always been. You don't have to be that. You have a fighting chance. Amen? Say. And guys, when it comes to not living for God or not walking after Christ, listen. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of differences inside this room, battles that we face, guys. You gotta get serious about it. Amen? Come on. So, number one, gotta get what? Small. Number two, I gotta get serious. Number three, I gotta get submitted. A submitted mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He was submitted to God. If God's Son could leave heaven, come to this crazy place, submit himself, I think you could stay at this crazy place where you're at right now. You ain't having to go nowhere. You're already a man, already a woman. I believe you can submit to the Lord. Amen? Yes or no? Sure you can. So get small, get serious, get submit yourself to the Lord, get sight, a focused mind. If you want to have the mind of Christ, if you want to fight this battle, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, a verse I keep in my office. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Because I fill my mind with so many things I shouldn't think on. Y'all do that sometimes? Isn't it sometimes easier to think about the bad that's happened? Say, or the loss, or the pain, or the struggle, instead of the good? Amen. It's a battle. You got to get sight. So, get small, get serious, get submitted, get sight, get firm. A mature mind. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. That word is mature. Be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Be of a strong mind. Be mature in the Lord. Isn't that the goal? Say. Would you say these things with me and we're done? I will humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I will submit myself to the mind of Jesus Christ. I will focus my sight on things that are right. I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh boy, how about this last one? And we're done. I will decrease so Jesus Christ may in my life. It's called shrink. Amen? Come on. Let's thank Him for His Word this morning. Praise the Lord. The good Word, man. The good Word today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on.